Leaders and Missions. Der Podcast für Visionäre, Gestalter und alle, die Wirtschaft, Gesellschaft und Innovation aktiv mitgestalten. Wir sprechen mit Menschen, die uns dadurch inspirieren, was sie auf den Weg bringen. Mit Macherinnen, Kreativen und Leadern, die durch ihre Visionen und Missionen den Wandel vorantreiben. Ich bin Carolina und heute spreche ich mit Georgi Oschatze.
Yeah. Soon we are launching Feed.
Yeah.
And first one will be like our AI. So
yeah.
And you can say, I'm hungry, but I don't know what to eat. Maybe something spicy, maybe something Asian. It also knows allergies.
Yeah.
You can say, and then it suggests, or maybe you can eat this like a burger near Alexanderplatz, and you can also find people who are nearby, like active to eat with you.
Yeah.
So our goal is like to be like to go to food social, not like a small app with people over food, to build real food graph.
Today we are in a quite interesting environment, and the reason why you're sitting here and we are going to have hopefully a very nice chat about consumer apps is because you're at the moment you're building a consumer app.
Yeah, I'm founder of the consumer app Food Social Network. Taste it.
So what is your mission with that?
My mission is simple, actually. I'm going to build world's first food social network where people don't post just like recipes, where people connect. Because how idea was born, like now we are living in a global pandemic of loneliness. And we are in AI saturated world. Like each of us are using AI tools every day. And I believe one day we are going to wake up and realize our best friends, our lover, therapies are AI.
Yeah.
And we will feel more lonely. And this pandemic is like growing crazy. And I was thinking when I was new in Berlin, I wanted to connect to people. And only way was like a dating apps or like these meetups.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to create safe space for the people to connect. And I remember like I was like, what could be best way for the people to connect? Then I did not invent new thing. I realized food has been always natural connector throughout human history. So my goal, my mission is like, it's super crazy if we start thinking. We have social media networks for so many things. We have LinkedIn for jobs. What I realized while I'm doing Tasted, every social network has a graph. For LinkedIn, it's a jobs. For Facebook, it's a friends. For Instagram, it was like pictures. And eating is most frequent social behavior.
Yeah.
And food is fragmented. We order from Uber Eats, from Wolt. We write reviews on Yelp.
Yeah.
We organize on WhatsApp to go out to eat together.
Yeah.
And so on. My goal is like to create one space for the food, but not to post, not to write reviews, to meet over food. So many platforms, they were trying to do like food applications, they failed because it was boring food listing. So we changed concept. Human is in center of our application. And I don't hope, I plan that Tasted is going to be world's biggest food social network.
So if we would go one layer deeper and talk about the customer value of that, it's about just building a place where people can make memories together. Because on the table, people open up, they connect.
For us, main point was like to talk about any dating or networking app. What's the problem? Problem is not dating. Problem is not swiping model. Problem is not that Tinder does not want us to find lover. Problem is an expectation. Problem is a dating framework. Like imagine if this is a date now, we would be different person. We would be talking differently. We are going to a bit play, not because we planned. Dating pretext brings this. And food is natural icebreaker in every society. How first human beings started like connecting. They were hunting, cooking together. In Germany, in Georgia, in USA, in Spain, in Mexico, in every country, food is natural connector. So we want to like remove this awkwardness and food is best way for this. But and in the long term, we are not only B2C, like we want to be biggest food social network for restaurants also. We have like Spotify for music, Tasted for food.
What happened actually when you first got out on the market? Because this is not a very common way just to put a vehicle and just go for it. How did the people react first?
It was actually amazing. Like, because first we launched in my country, Georgia, because it was ideal test market for me to test if idea worked. Before that, I went to the TV show Shark Tank. Like, when idea was born, same day I applied for the TV show. I fly to Georgia. I had 9 pages of PDF. I pitched in the TV show. I got funding. And then we started building. We launched. And after launching, I did not sleep almost like 10 days.
Yeah.
Even more. Because people were expecting from the Shark Tank that it was happening. We had like so many downloads. And people were like using. In like a few days, we had around like 10,000 users.
Mm-hmm.
Without any like paid marketing.
Okay.
And I was just so happy and like feedback was incredible. And I went on a food date myself and I was texting my team, what we are selling, it's like true. It was like happiest feeling as a founder.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because I'm creative director mm-hmm. because I don't build a tech product. Mm-hmm. I build a fucking brand. Sorry for using things. Because I have this ambition. I have this drive. And that's why I say I don't hope. I plan.
Yeah.
Because when you're building startup, you plan. Like, also, I'm familiar with like failures. And yeah, to go back to your question, like, the amazing feeling, but sometimes this excitement takes us and we don't listen to feedback of our users.
Mm-hmm.
And I started listening each of them. I was like texting them, emailing them, talking with them in the application. When I was seeing new user from the app, I was texting, hey, I'm a founder. Can you tell me what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving them like a premium account for free. And probably now I came to the stage, I never been this confident in what I'm building.
I'm just thinking about, I mean, 0-1 often is the first step. And what I realize, especially in this consumer app market, is first, of course, bringing the people into the app, but then how to let it grow. What do you see in this part?
For me, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
For me, now association came into my head. It's when you are learning language.
Yes.
It's so easy to go to the B1 level, for instance.
Yeah.
But from B1, it's super hard to grow.
Yeah.
And we had this moment, actually. Like, I think now we are like going through those moments,
yes,
I think quite successfully because we just hit 100,000 monthly active users.
Yeah,
and for me, like main thing was like I still had a full time job in Berlin because my visa was attached to everything. I left my full time job 7 months ago as a creative director of Factory Berlin, and after that, I started thinking, what do I need to do? Because as a founder, I'm willing to do everything, absolutely everything, like. I can stand up now and start screaming and tell people to download my application because I think when you are on a mission, I'm not an arrogant person. I'm not saying because of the arrogance. No, I can be anything, not arrogant person.
Mm.
But now I feel goosebumps when I'm talking about my startup because this is my mission. And to answer your question, it's about, again, listening feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Like talking with your users. This is most important like conversation because we start this conversation because we are talking about consumer applications. Why it's called consumer? Like I don't call my users like customers. It's a community.
Yeah.
And we have special name. We call them foodmates.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are our own foodmates. I remember like a few months ago, we launched the Hunger Games event concept in Tbilisi and in Berlin. And like so many first users came, they bought the tickets to come to this event. And then when we had like a cigarettes break, I was asking questions and I realized they know all the function, even better than me. Like, and I was almost crying like when I was listening to my users. And then they gave me also critique. And that night I remember I went to my place, to hotel. And then I changed the UX UI based on their feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And it was big success. When we relaunched our application, our retention like rate like grow crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So probably listening to your users and don't be shy. Be loud about your mission because, again, it's a consumer. shyness, it's not helpful when you are doing consumer. Like, you need to be bold. You need to, and you don't be afraid of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a team members or colleagues, they are like, oh, Georgie, like, let's think, let's plan properly. Of course, planning is important, but when you are doing startup, it's better to make mistakes than be slow and someone is going to eat you.
Mm-hmm. And how do you communicate with them? I mean, just imagine that there are a lot of listeners outside. You have no clue about consumer apps and how to engage with the community. How do you get that feedback?
From my users.
And how?
Yeah. So I use, like, first of all, we try to organize in-person events.
Okay.
This is our biggest group. Second, in Georgia, we started TV IG show on a food date.
Mm-hmm.
We invite people, our community members. In Berlin, we started Sorry I'm Late. We created newsletter on Subtech.
Okay.
Too Hot to Swipe. It's about food.
Yeah.
And we have like 25,000 monthly active users. We have our special newsletter. We have cases, people get married, even so we are not dating apps, and they are texting us. We are using all the opportunity. Also, branding.
Uh-huh.
Because for me, branding is super important. In nowadays, there are like so many startups. We are living in AI world. Building a tech product isn't a problem. That's why I think I have this advantage than other founders. I'm creative director. I worked for global brands, Coca-Cola, Burger King, Diesel, for global campaigns. I know when people care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using it. What emojis I'm using when I'm texting my food mates, my users.
Mm-hmm.
How I start with hi or hey. Like, everything is planned, but it also comes from the honest place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fake. I'm an honest person and I think my team members are honest people.
Yeah.
And you can feel that. Yeah. I don't know if you feel now, but for me, I'm not this tech bro who wants to build this tech product and make, of course, I want to make money, but money does not drive me.
I would like to do with a very quick consumer app reality check.
Just okay.
One question, and just whatever comes into your mind, just intuition. Okay,
let's do it.
Let's do it. Is it objectively harder today to build a successful consumer app than 5 years ago?
No, to be honest, if I start today, say this today, I would be much faster because I'm a tech founder.
Yeah.
And now I can code. Yeah. I had coding experience, but with that experience now, I will be unstoppable.
Yeah, because you put AI into the development process. Okay, what changed most? User behavior, acquisition costs, trust, or product expectations?
Trust and user behavior. Because people don't trust consumer applications. That's why branding matters.
Okay, because there are so many more apps in the market? Or
no,
why?
That's a different problem because it's like a red ocean.
Okay.
But, I mean, we don't trust TikTok. We use TikTok, but we don't trust TikTok information.
Because everybody knows it's not the real world. Okay.
Easily. That's why be honest with your customer. You fucked up.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah.
I made a mistake, but I am willing to change it.
Got it. Many people say every category is already taken. Do you agree? Or is that just a lazy thinking?
It's a bullshit. Because I had the same problem to put myself into existing category.
Yeah.
But then I realized I'm building new category. I'm building fucking food social network. And it's a different category.
Yeah. It's a never existing one. It's a new world.
Yeah. It's a new world. Like, you don't need to fit. And because everyone gives us advices. Every investor, every founder, everyone. Of course, it's super important to listen. But founders' main job is how to filter information you are getting.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of apps will struggle most in the next 3 years? What do you think?
Consumer will struggle.
Okay.
Because if you are building a consumer application, again, it's not about building a high-tech product.
Yeah.
That's becoming super easy. But having a brand, having a character, having a mission, super important. And nowadays, it's so easy to be eaten by social media, by content.
Okay, and then the question comes from the investors' markets. Can consumer apps still grow massively without massive funding?
Oh, That's a tough question, because I'm asking that question to myself, because now I'm fundraising. Now we are closing pre-seed round.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really answer, yes. Answer is yes.
Yeah.
But then it has so many layers.
Mm.
Founder can eat a food for like next 1 year without like a, because I don't know, for me it was biggest struggle. I'm not from European Union.
Yeah.
I was helping my family. I was working. So for me it was not easy. But now I risk everything. Like and I'm willing to do everything, but of course there's a limitation for it.
What do you think, what kind of or what growth channels still work 2026?
Of course, social media is a big part, is a growth channel.
Yeah.
Influencers are like really big part. I would say mostly UGC creators. For me, what worked perfectly is like creative campaigns, but like this podcast. Like I give you an example.
Yeah.
Last year we made a TechCrunch. Mm-hmm. Like we were in top 10 consumer application worldwide. Yeah. And I went to the Tekka, I realized I'm no one. Like, it's a huge event.
Yeah.
And I made a funeral of dating apps. I brought a coffin into TechCrunch,
mm-hmm.
put into the coffin Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, the dating apps.
Uh-huh.
And we had like 2,000 users in one day. Last time in Berlin, last year at the Pride, I wanted to do something crazy. I didn't have any budget. I won competition of N26. I went to their track. I printed thousands of paper planes. I put our QR code, anti-dating app. And from N26, like a track, I flew away these paper planes. And we had like 1,200 users in one day. So, yeah, be crazy. Be in conversations. You know, like, it's a long answer, but
that's
important question.
Yeah.
It's not about you are using newsletter, social media, or like guerrilla campaigns. It's about having your like being on a pulse of society.
Yes.
What's trending now?
Yeah.
What people are talking about. It's a Pride tomorrow. You know everyone is going to be there.
Yeah.
Take a fucking banner, go in the Pride and do something crazy, and everyone is going to start talking about you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we are living in attention economy. So person wins who grabs attention.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
If you would launch Taste It from zero again tomorrow, what would be your first, let's call it 90 days plan? Just because you cannot do everything at once.
True. That's a good question.
Just reflecting, yeah?
Probably I will go to universities. Yeah, like I will launch at the universities probably, because universities, like really big universities, you know, like a Humboldt, Freie University. And because we are like a food application, you meet people over food. Mm-hmm. And at the university, you want to meet people. Like they have also cafes, places. And maybe university will be like a first place to meet.
Okay.
It's what we are doing now. It's we are going to launch in Stanford University. So we are partnering now with cafes around the and restaurants around the universities.
Yeah.
And Stanford is a huge university. Mm-hmm. You meet your classmates, but it's a city, actual city.
Yeah.
And probably that would be like my, and I'm also planning to do the same in Germany now. And also, second one will be like Tasters. We are launching now this campaign, like this kind of, everyone can be taster.
Mm.
They do their like accounts in our applications. They go to different places, eat for free for us, mm-hmm. but they do content.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of activation, probably.
You know what pops up? Within me, just when you mentioned this, maybe you solve a cultural problem. Because if you start in a country with a sort of, let's call it overall culture in universities, might be or might be not, but I would say just from my just intuition side here, cultural does not play such a big role because it's international in most universities. So it's a mix and they're always open because they move somewhere and they're more open to other things, right?
Yeah, it's about your target audience because if university is international, you have a feeling you need to socialize, so you need to meet. But it depends on the country. Like when you are going to launch in Spain, for instance, Spain has this tradition, mm-hmm. sobremasa,
mm-hmm.
which is taste actually. Sobremasa means you meet people, even strangers, over food and talk and stay for hours.
Yeah.
So probably I will do sobremasa big campaign in Spain.
Well, I'm a big fan of what you do because I also think food is one of the biggest connectors in our society within companies, can be the biggest
trigger
to evolve something. And we also see it in our, let's call it family of choice. So we meet constantly on Fridays where we bring our families together. We did it already when we were younger without kids, and then a couple within our friendship tribe, let's call it like that, they open up their house like, okay, let's meet Fridays. The only rule that exists, the house has to look as before after dinner, and we cook together. And there's, we organize ourselves via WhatsApp group. And then we meet. At the beginning, there were about, sometimes there were 10 couples plus some additional singles, whatever. Some parts of the day, like, for short before Christmas, etc. It's an explosion. The house is full of more than 80 people plus 40 kids.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Sometimes the kids are more than the adults.
Yeah.
But it's so nice because we connect, we cook, we connect, we eat together. Of
you
course.
Share.
We
you,
share.
Yeah.
We share.
That's it's you can do now in Tasted because in our app, like you can create events.
Yeah.
People can join you.
Great.
Or start with actually. And one more important thing, we don't feature restaurants in our app.
Yeah.
This is the hero itself.
Yeah.
And our concept, how apps works, I suggest everyone to get the app and try because it's like really unique model.
Yeah.
Also how we did UX UI, it really works.
When I first saw your model, I was asking myself, because I'm also as an investor, I'm also OKR driven, etc. But what I was asking myself is the emotional relevance one of the most important things, or is it downloads, retention, referrals, or whatever?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, it's both because, to be honest, our retention is like top class.
Okay.
Like first day we have like 68%. After one week we have 42. After day 30 we have like 32.
Okay.
It's quite big. Even so, our goal is like to push people to meet in real life. But when we launched Tasted application, first we had only food mode. People were texting us, oh my God, food is addictive. Because also on social media, TikTok, Instagram, food is most watched content generally. People are tend to watch. And we transform like people discover food, but then they transform it to real life experiences. And when you meet someone from Tasted, you always win because first of all, you don't have expectation. I mean, I will tell you, my mom, she's like 66 and she went on a dinner with 25-year-old boy. And when I first opened my mom's Tasted phone, she's super active because of me.
Yeah.
I was shocked, but really, she was texting like hundreds of young people. But then I was so happy because it's what we want to achieve. We are you meet older people nowadays.
Yeah.
We are meet like, because we have this gender, age, sexual orientation, religious. So on dating apps, you have your target.
Yeah.
But I have like older friends. They are like 60. Some of them are like doctors. Some of them are like lecturers, universities. This current society framework does not give us possibility to meet them. And it's what I'm trying to break, to find, to break gender stereotypes, age stereotypes, meet people.
Yes.
Because now you invite me, probably we would not meet in a club. Maybe we are in Berlin, we would meet, but you don't develop this kind of connection because we are in our bubbles. We go to university, work, and we have this bubble.
Yeah.
And Tasted is like, as an icebreaker, it's a perfect way to start.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's easy. I mean, also within our team, I mean, we are not a big team. We all love food, good food. We also build an agent, which is our soul food manager.
Okay, what does it does?
Well, actually, she is a cooking advisor.
Okay.
And she knows Mana, it's her name, and she knows each and every, let's call it challenges of each and every person in the team.
Amazing.
And makes a dish proposal where we can cook together, everyone can eat. with allergies and other topics, etc.
It's what we are going to do now. Yeah. Soon we are launching Feed.
Yeah.
And first one will be like our AI. So
yeah.
And you can say, I'm hungry, but I don't know what to eat. Maybe something spicy, maybe something Asian. It also knows allergies.
Yeah.
You can say, and then it suggests, or maybe you can eat this like a burger near Alexanderplatz. And you can also find people who are nearby, like active to eat with you.
Yeah, nice.
So our goal is like to be like, to go to food social, not like a small app with people over food, to build real food graph. You see how many food connections you have with people.
Yeah.
You see their taste. You can make your food list, share with your friends. So our goal is like to build real food graph.
Nice. Maybe we can share our experience with our agent.
Yeah.
We build ourselves. I mean, she's actually learning what we like, and she making recipes and buyer lists, etc.
Yeah.
And then we cook together with her. I mean, she does not cook. She's just the advisor.
I hope she does not cook yet. I hope. And also, it's a good insight because recently I realized I started cooking 1 year ago, and I'm now like super into.
Yeah.
And then when you cook, you want to share with people. You want to invite people. You want to post.
Yeah.
And because it's a social thing.
Yeah.
It's like eating and cooking is like super social.
Funny. What do you think? What is the biggest growth mistake first-time consumer founders make?
Probably as a consumer founder in the beginning, you expect, oh my God, I'm going to explode now. So many users.
Yeah.
And then you are like counting, oh my God, 1, 2, 10 users. And biggest, I don't know which one is biggest mistake, but probably you need to, what we talked already about, 90 days plan. You need to have this plan.
Yeah.
When I started, I did not have this plan, to be honest. Like,
okay.
Now I do have this plan for different markets, but I was like ambitious. I was like, I'm going to do it. I mean, I did it. But probably if I had a plan, I would be more faster. A plan does not mean that you are not going to make mistake. Like a plan exists because plan A does not work, then you move to plan B.
I always tell everyone, you have a plan, then they have a plan B, C, D, E, and then life happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Founder who survives is a founder. Like when life happens, you need to survive. Like because it's super important. That's why I started also therapy, because I work crazy. I'm like workaholic. Like I work 24 hours. Sometimes my friends hate me because I'm like, I have an obsession.
Yeah.
Because before I was saying my startup is my baby, but also I change attitude now. My startup is not my baby. I also look at the parent, because you can forgive so many things to your babies, and I don't want to forgive mistakes to my startup. I want to learn from mistakes.
Yeah, and I don't know whether you agree with that, but what I had to learn in all leadership positions, it's very important that I can lead myself the best. I have to know my weak and my blind sides, and to be a good leader in everything, because when I collapse, everything collapses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Recently, what I discovered, I am so grateful.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was always a judgy person to myself. And recently, I'm so proud of myself.
Mm.
I cannot explain how much I grew after doing Tasty. It's insane. Even if Tasty dies tomorrow, I will be so grateful what I managed to do. Like this is like really emotional, like because I'm like so grateful of this experience. And I, because recently I had like really tough time, like with my family, everything, and it was like too much, and I was every night I was closing around in January. It was like almost and then my little store jumped out, and every morning I was telling Georgie, one more night. And now I know nothing is impossible. I know that cliche, this phrase, the cliche, don't stop fighting, but it's true. Like, and now that's why I'm confident today. Now I know nothing is gonna like stop me.
To know I can do it faster.
Yeah.
I can work for 48 hours. I can do a hackathon, whatever. Yeah.
So,
but if I'm also be able just to stand still for slight moment,
yeah,
and to realize what I'm doing, I take better decisions.
Exactly. Yeah. And one more thing, like when you are building startup, like when you are like a like early founder, you see your growth, your journey as like a no and yes. And when you get yes, you are happy, you are excited. When you got no, it destroys you. Then time goes and you are learning like how to deal with rejections. Mm. Like on last Monday, we made finals of the pitch competition by Deal. Mm-hmm. We were like, it was like big success for us. Usually my superpower is pitching. When I go on a stage, I feel I'm superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not because of arrogance. I feel goosebumps.
Yeah.
I had worst pitch of my life. I mean, it was good pitch for the people, but for my standards, it was not good. Because of technical problems and so on. But it was first time, like a finished like process. I told myself, I'm still proud of you. And I was like, and yesterday I was thinking that I needed not to be good on that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And first time in my brain, it was not ending of this cycle. It was part of this whole journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a beautiful feeling to realize with not winning of this competition was part of this journey, not end of this chapter.
Yeah.
And that was like most beautiful realization. And I don't know, like sometimes I'm afraid, but experience, age and everything. Yeah, now I feel I'm like on the best place mentally and also as a founder.
Yeah. I'm always trying to transfer the whole picture, let's call it, the integral view to metrics. So what do you think, which metrics tells you whether a consumer product is truly resonating?
Retention rate. Retention rate is one of the like main thing, because one thing is to bring people in the application. Another thing to keep them in your application and motivate them to come back.
Okay.
That's why I like my first like numbers is always like a retention rate.
Okay.
Because it means you are app is active, because like I mentioned, now I can start screaming and ask people to download my application.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some of them will download, but will they come back?
Yeah.
Then it's up to me.
Yeah.
And you need to observe, because when we launch, we were not observing user behavior in first few months.
Mm-hmm.
We had analytics, but we are like, I don't know. But now I have a loop. I'm like, okay, you click this. Why? What motivated you? When we launched premium version, people bought premium in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
8 people randomly, and of course I did a refund because they cannot use like in South Korea. But instead of refund, I texted them. I'm gonna refund you this money, but can you ask some of my questions? And yeah. This is most important metric for me.
Because this is really just comes to the question, is just how do you balance, let's call it this creativity process with disciplined execution? Because you have this development, you have ideas, you want to go out, and then you have the execution. so
That's a really good question.
How to keep in the role?
So that's a super good question. I'm creative director. I'm like creative person by nature. I also have ADHD, so I'm like, but I think I managed to make my ADHD my superpower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, for me, I have one rule. Task does not exist if I don't write down when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning when I wake up, I need to put my task. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm doing so many things,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes result is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like workaholic, but it does not mean I am like having outcomes, having like results. Mm-hmm. That's why every morning when I wake up, I put like three main tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I need to achieve this day. Because sometimes we put so many tasks and we forgot. It's becoming wish list. We don't need wish lists. Because when you put so many, it was my problem also. I was like putting every morning 10 tasks, like unrealistic tasks. And then I was getting angry. Oh my God, I wasn't productive. No, you need to be realistic. And I think I'm also like fast. Like it's one of my advantages. I can build a website in an hour. I can pitch And I can edit because I'm coming also not from easy background, and I learned how to adapt. I learned how to fight because I think my past experiences, which was crazy hard as a child, helped me to shape myself. And that's why I think I'm a fighter.
I think you have some things in common. I discover right now. So
I can feel that. Yeah.
I have two questions in mind about founder's skill to adapt yourself first and being a fighter.
Yeah, it's and resilience. Yeah, it's resilience, part of the part of the being fighter, because when I told you that I'm so grateful of this journey. First time I'm proud of myself, because when I see myself when I started my startup, also when I see notes I got today, I was telling myself, actually, they were right. I was not ready for that investment. Now I really feel ready.
Okay.
Because, you know, now I know how to do. I have like this formulas kind of. I know each step. I can imagine every morning what I'm going to do when I wake up, which coffee I'm going to make. After coffee, which task I'm going to make, and probably this is most important part. And when you found this framework, then it comes to your question. Do you need big investment? Of course, it's helpful, but you don't need millions like to build the next Spotify. Like because we are living in a, you asked me also that question nowadays, what's the difference before 5 years and now?
Yeah.
We are living in social media era.
Yeah.
When Spotify was Facebook starting, they did not have TikTok or Facebook. Now we have one window called social media.
Yeah.
And we can do like impossible things. It's not easy. It's an attention economy, but it's possible.
Okay. So that means acquisition gets attention, retention builds companies.
Yeah.
Well, what keeps users coming back today in this environment as a user? If we put ourselves on the user side.
You need to feel that you belong there.
Yeah.
It's probably super important because...
You feel the pull, you mean? Just
you feel that you are part of the community.
You need it.
Yeah. FOMO effect. Also belonging. Like that feeling that it's your place.
Yeah.
People care. Of course, it gives you value also.
Yeah.
In my app case, you meet people over food. And when you have like this girl who found... her partner from our application, she's grateful. And she's famous influencer in Georgia.
Yeah.
She has like 1 million followers. And she does content for us for free.
Wow.
Because like, and she downloaded the application because it was not dating. And she met a boy because it was not a date.
Yeah.
That's why it worked. And this is super important. And of course, other like as really technical stuff, why we open Instagram? Because always something is happening, because someone is texting you, someone writes a comment, like it's a hub, because we are social human beings. Why it's called social network? Because it's based on our social behavior. We need attention, we need to engage, we need to text, we need to be part of our bubble. It's the biggest part.
Let's call it it's community, of course, but it's more about the layer which is deeper. It's about just feeling connected and feeling understood.
Exactly. Yeah. Feeling connecting and feeling understood. Yeah.
Yeah. Being seen.
And what we are also trying to do differently, we don't want to, people are like trading with their profiles or profile pictures. Like it's what dating apps made people like it's a, like online marketplace.
Yeah.
So we don't want to build online marketplace. And nowadays, especially in AI saturated world, this real human connection is becoming more important. Tinder just launched this, had a keynote with they are also moving to IRL meetups.
Just a few last questions. What do you think? I've never asked this question before. Yeah. My topic is growth. Yeah. So what is one truth about consumer growth that nobody wants to hear because it's uncomfortable, maybe?
For me, it comes again about listening to your users, because sometimes we founders as a consumer startups founders, we blind ourselves. We are like blindfolded and we are like, we keep doing. Oh my God, I know this is an amazing idea. I know people are going to download. We did not this enough. And we are like living in our own life. Also, one thing, when you are building fucking consumer app, you are going to be Facebook or nothing. Do you know any food social network on the middle ground? You are Spotify?
Yeah.
Or like, you need a big player. Mm-hmm. And it's not about being like ambitious only. Like, have a, like, because you need to have a big goal. Imagine if I come to you and I'm telling you, yeah, I want to build like a small food app. Maybe I will stay in Berlin. Maybe just for me. Yeah, just for this community.
Mm-hmm.
It does not drive me as a founder. And also it's not sexy for our users. Like now when I do videos, like also social network, I try to tell even strangers, be part of this journey. Like help me, build with me. Like I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. I'm not coming from privileged family. I did not study in Harvard. Like I was hiding under the bed when I was 7 and I promised little Georgie that I'm going to do everything for my life. And I'm decided to be honest with my users and don't tell them that I'm like this tech bro who studied in Stanford and dropped out and now I'm in Y Combinator. This is not my story. Mm. My story is even cooler.
Mm.
And I'm gonna, just be honest.
I ask every leader the same final question. Do you have a personal hack, a ritual, routine or whatever, or a tool, whatever, which supports you massively every day?
Yeah, look at Georgie. Every time when I make a decision, this morning I will tell you, I was so happy. Yesterday I had a conversation with the investor and he was like, not absolutely sure. And my message reply was like super strong and he absolutely changed his conversation with me. I felt that I was present. I know my shit, what I'm doing. And this morning, like I was listening music and music was saying, I will not let you down. And I started crying before coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And because my thoughts was little Georgie, and every time I'm doing something, I'm just like imagining I'm going to make him proud. I'm going to protect him. For me, it's a really big thing. Yeah, because I was so judgy person and now I started accepting myself, even like bad version of myself, and it helps me.
Mm.
And yeah, my trick is like be in touch with my inner child because your inner child does not lie.
Mm.
And this is my biggest like a life hack. Yeah, to be in touch and to be present.
Yeah.
Of course, there are like so many other hacks. What I'm doing before the pitching, I'm always listening music and I have these small rituals. But my fundamental, and also my promise to myself, being a good person, this is super important for me because I don't want any money, I don't want any success if I'm not going to be myself.
Mm.
And this is super important for me. I always tell my friends, if you notice I'm becoming asshole, please tell me because I never plan to become asshole. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Das war wieder eine Folge von Leaders and Missions. Ich freue mich wirklich sehr, dass du eingeschaltet hast und hoffe, es hat dir gefallen. Lass uns gerne eine Bewertung da und teile diese Folge auf Social Media oder in deinem Netzwerk. Ich sage Tschüss und bis zum nächsten Mal, wenn es wieder heißt Leaders and Missions.